From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. Tens of thousands of Yemenis gathered in the rebel-controlled capital Sana'a Sunday, marking the second anniversary of the intervention of the Saudi-led coalition backing government forces against Houthi rebels. Houthi rebel minister Ahmed al-Kana acknowledged the country has been ruined by conflict, but he said the rebels will not surrender. The conflict has left some 10,000 dead, displaced millions. Middle East Institute scholar Zubair Iqbal said it's a struggle between Saudi Arabia and Iran.
Both sides are fighting for their quote-unquote, their primary masters. And that basically means that they're not fighting for the sake of preserving and stabilizing the region, but for their own narrow interests.
The Shia Houthis are backed by forces loyal to former President Ali Abdullah Saleh against the internationally recognized government of President Abdrabbo Mansour Hadi. The Houthis remain entrenched in most of northern Yemen. Several rounds of UN talks have failed to produce an agreement. Rwanda's President Paul Kagame hailed his country's friendship with Israel Sunday in remarks to the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee policy conference here in Washington, insisting the genocides their peoples have suffered bring them together.
The security of peoples who have once been targeted for extermination can never be exclusively physical until all ideologies which justify killing as a patriotic duty are defeated, our world is not truly safe.
Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu visited Rwanda and three other countries last year. An Israel-Africa summit is planned in October in Togo. This is VOA News. U.S.-backed Syrian rebels Sunday captured a military airfield in northern Syria held by Islamic State. The Syrian Democratic Forces, an alliance of Arab and Kurdish militia, are still engaged in intense fighting in and around the base located near the strategic Tabqa Dam. Turkey summoned the Swiss ambassador Sunday to criticize a rally by Kurds in Bern, which Ankara called a terrorist rally. Several thousand gathered Saturday to urge Turks to vote no in next month's constitutional referendum to grant President Recep Tayyip Erdogan sweeping new powers. A banner showed a gun pointing at the president's head with the words, "Kill Erdogan." Speaking in Istanbul Sunday, Mr. Erdogan said the Swiss remain silent in the face of this. He vowed Turkey will do whatever is necessary in the face of the incident. Ankara said European countries have allowed no rallies to proceed while banning yes gatherings and the participation by Turkish officials. Six aid workers were killed Saturday in an ambush in South Sudan as they traveled from the capital Juba to the town of Pibor. It's the highest number of aid workers killed in one incident since civil war broke out in December 2013. Gunfire erupted early Sunday at a nightclub in Cincinnati, Ohio, leaving one person dead and 15 others wounded. Elliot Isaac is the city's police chief.
What we know at this point in the investigation, several local men got into some type of a dispute inside the bar, and it escalated into shots being fired.
There were no immediate arrests. Mayor John Cranley said there is no evidence to suggest it was similar to a terrorist attack last year at an Orlando, Florida nightclub that killed nearly 50 people. German Chancellor Angela Merkel's center-right party Sunday won a state election in Saarland by a large margin, seen as a setback to the opposition Social Democrats, who hoped to unseat her in September's national election. Her Christian Democrats took over 40% of the vote to the SDP's 29%. Bulgaria's center-right and pro-European GERB party narrowly won Sunday's parliamentary election, taking a third of the vote. The socialists trailed with 27%. They pledged to forge closer ties to Russia. South Korean prosecutors Monday said they will seek an arrest warrant for ousted President Park Geun-hye, who has been implicated in a corruption scandal. She stands accused of bribery, leaking government information, and abuse of power. A removal from power opened her up to criminal prosecution. She has denied any wrongdoing. A Beijing-backed candidate has been selected as Hong Kong's next leader. Carrie Lam was not voted into office by the territory's voters, but a 1,200-person election committee. She'll become Hong Kong's first female chief executive when she takes office on July 1st. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.